listening to the Christy Clark Show on the Chorus Radio Network. Once again, here's Christy Clark.
Dr. Ian Pike is the head of an organization they call Community Against Preventable Injuries. They're lobbying to do something to reduce the rate of the number of people who die as a result of injuries that are entirely preventable. And summer, Dr. Pike, is amongst the most dangerous times, particularly for kids, right?
It is indeed, of course. They're out of school and they are on their bikes and out playing, and it can be a very dangerous time. I'm thinking as well, kids in, on and around the water, parents needing to be particularly vigilant in caring for their child. We just heard the wonderful story about the three-year-old that survived his plastic toy ride down the river in northern BC, but an example of how we need to keep very close supervision on the children when we're out this summer.
Now, poisoning is the number three on the list of preventable injuries. How many people get poisoned every year?
Well, the numbers vary a little bit depending upon the source. But as you say, it's number three. It represents about 20% of all injuries in the province, so sort of somewhere around 75,000-80,000 in total, some of whom die. And we're particularly concerned as well, again, in the disproportionate number of young people who are represented in those stats. So children who get into the wrong medications or household products. And, of course, the messages are very clear here in terms of parents needing to ensure that poisons and medications are stored out of small hands and that the children are taught carefully not to, to play with those things.
Gosh, you know, Dr. Pike, I have to admit, I'm really surprised by that statistic. 80,000 people poisoned in British Columbia every year. It seems to me such a well-known fact that you have to keep things away from kids, dangerous things away from kids. I'm surprised that those numbers are still so high.
Well, they are. Many of these things, though, are unintentional. They would include all manner of poisoning, so household products, yard products. They would include children as well, sort of inadvertently chewing on the wrong type of plant. And so there are all manner of things that are toxic and cause poison to the body. So that, you know, there's an extensive definition there, but we can't underscore that strongly enough in terms of how we do need to keep these products away from children and to teach them safe procedures around them.
I imagine that some of those numbers, those 80,000 people that are poisoned every year, is due to drug misuse as well.
It certainly is. It would include illicit drug use as well as the misuse of prescriptions. It would also include when two prescription drugs sort of inadvertently have an adverse effect because of their interaction. So they, you know, they don't combine well for the body. So a lot of it is entirely unintentional. But then again, people often will use medications as a form of self-harm as well.
And drowning, we spoke about that briefly with respect to that little boy, that miracle little guy who held on to his toy as he went down the river and survived it. Most kids and adults are not so lucky if they get themselves in trouble in the water.
That's true. Too often people do not respect the skill and fitness that's needed to be in, on, and around the water. I mean, we've heard of a tired swimmer in Harrison Lake that drowned, an older gentleman, or sorry, not older, 35-year-old who drowned off Texade Island in just the last week. People often overestimate their capability when they're in open water particularly. You know, the effects of temperature, the effects of current. And we just ask people to think about these things ahead of time. Stay close to shore, swim parallel to shore, use a flotation device, take steps to know what your capabilities are before you actually get in there.
And drinking, I imagine, Dr. Pike, plays a role, particularly with adults who get themselves in trouble in the water.
It does, and drinking, of course, is particularly problematic when they're also operating machinery on the water, skidoos and boats and so on. But alcohol has the effect of sort of impairing our judgment, reducing our ability to make more sensible decisions, but it also has a physiological effect that speeds up cooling if we're indeed in cold water. So alcohol, boating, and water activities just do not mix at all.
Do you find people, though, do you see more injuries, more fatalities from people drowning in pools than in lakes or the ocean?
Well, we see a spread, and it depends upon the age. Of course, in the open water situation, we see an older age group, but certainly backyard pools and even bathtubs are problematic for little children, where usually parents are quite vigilant when they're near open water, but unfortunately the backyard pool still represents a huge risk to young children.
And falling is the last one on your list, I guess the last big one on your list that's a major source of accidents. I'm guessing that that's just people climbing up on the ladders trying to get all the junk and leaves out of the eaves and that sort of thing.
Well, it does include that. It includes all sorts of slips, trips, and falls. And again, we see different types of injuries depending upon the age group. In the older adult, we see sort of slips, trips, and falls because of household things like loose mats and slippery floors. We also see similar types of household-related injuries amongst young children who may, not be so firm on their feet yet and slip and fall and may slip down the stairs, for example. The middle age group, though, we do see a lot of vocational and work-related type injuries. What we're asking British Columbians to consider, for example, we're a little bemused. People who follow all the safety rules at work, for example, around ladder safety, are often the same individuals that when they climb up to clean the eaves or put up their Christmas lights or whatever, don't seem to follow the same rules. And we're just asking people to, be aware of this and think about how you approach ladder safety at home. Think about how you would translate what you know from work to the same circumstances at your home.
And so do you have any advice, Dr. Pike, for people other than just be careful? Is that really the cure for this problem?
Well, first of all, I think what we're advising people is to think about the situation you're about to enter. Is there risk involved? Do you understand what your capabilities are to manage that risk? Are you going to contribute to the risk in terms of behaving appropriately or not? Then, wherever personal protective gear is a part of that activity, use it, and use it promptly. Put a helmet on your head, put a PFD on your body when you're in on and around the water. So understand the risk, get the gear, and use the gear promptly. We're also inviting British Columbians to engage in a dialogue around this whole issue of preventable injury. And there's a fabulous website that we've put up, www.preventable.ca, where British Columbians can visit the site, they can engage in the dialogue, be a part of the discussion, and be a part of the whole conversation around preventable injury. And if they want to connect and get more expert opinion, that website is a portal to all of our partners' expert websites, so they can go on and gather further information around water safety or ladder safety or bicycle safety.
Thanks again, Dr. Pike. Very nice to have you.
My pleasure indeed. Thank you very much.
He's with the Community Against Preventable Injuries. Coming up next, open line time. Is it better to be dumped or the dumpy? Dumper or dumpy? I want to hear from you on this one. 604-280-9898. This is Christy Clark. You're on Chorus.